Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We've got big events on both the federal and mayoral level today. Let's dive in. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of Humanity First and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. The impeachment trial proceeded into the actual case against Trump today, with the prosecution rolling out a star team to lay out the evidence. They did a fine job of it. They made the points that Trump's incitement began months in advance, when he conditioned his fans to the wholly anti-democratic belief that the only legitimate outcome of the election was for him to win, which he followed up by carrying on that attack on democracy with the lie that the election was stolen. This was the justification used for storming the Capitol. They pointed out that Trump did not ask the insurrectionists to leave the Capitol for hours, a clear violation of his oath of office, instead further tweeting out pointed blame at Pence during the riot, further inciting the crowd, who read out Trump's tweet on a megaphone and began the Hang Pence chants. Trump only called off his mob long after the threat to Congress and Pence had passed. Or, put another way, he only gave up once the coup had failed. They point out that Trump delayed deployment of aid to the Capitol and that when he finally did tell his people to go home, he also reaffirmed the false justification for the attack, saying this is what happens when a landslide election is stolen. I was worried that the prosecution might focus almost entirely on Trump's speech, and I'm happy that it's not the case. The team also did a great job of presenting and making it personal for the audience. I've only had time for clips, but I'm certain that it's worth watching, and my family members who did watch it were quite moved by it. A recording of the entire event is in the thread in the podcast description links. Following the day's presentation, Lisa Murkowski said that the evidence was damning. When asked if she would push for Trump to be barred from running for office again, she said she didn't think he could win after this, leaving unsaid that she will use that as her excuse when she cowers away again from convicting him. As Scott put it today, quote, "It's absurd but true how our nation has reached a point of having a two-party system where one party no longer believes in democracy and the other party knows full well the dangers of rising authoritarianism and does not see the slam dunk way of winning voters via $2,000 a month in cash," end quote. I can't agree more, except that I don't think many Democrats do see the danger that the country is still in, and that their action or inaction will be a deciding factor. Looking at you, Joe Manchin, it's a terrible ignorance that we may all pay for. Speaking of Scott, he's recorded a reading of his UBI liquid infrastructure article, framing it from an engineering perspective. You can find it at the link below. Fed Chair Jerome Powell gave a speech today in which he made clear that his position in support of maximal economic stimulus has not changed. He began by laying out a bleak picture of the current economy, including that correcting a misclassification of workers in BLS data and counting people who left the labor force due to the pandemic would nearly double the official unemployment numbers to around 10%. He noted that permanent job loss and long-term unemployment have increased and said, quote, "The recovery continues to depend on controlling the spread of the virus, which will require mass vaccinations in addition to continued vigilance in social distancing and mask wearing," end quote. As to the solution, he made clear that this is not the time to address the deficit. He said we need a society-wide commitment with contributions from across government and the private sector to restore the nation's economic health, and he urged everyone to stop worrying about inflation, which has not been a threat for decades. Quote, "We've seen 3 decades of lower and more stable inflation. As the economy reopens, we may see a burst of spending. My expectation would be that will be neither large nor sustained," end quote. In fact, he stated that monetary policy will specifically seek to increase inflation to at least 2%, a target that the economy has consistently failed to reach for many years. If you can't take it from the Fed chair that inflation is not a concern, I don't know what would change your mind. He's hardly a radical modern monetary theory progressive. sure would be nice if the Republicans and conservative Democrats in Congress would heed the advice of economists. On that note, a trio of UK researchers are publishing their meta-study of 38 other studies analyzing the effects on mental health of attaching conditions to social benefits. Unsurprisingly, they found that mental health improves when conditions, such as work requirements and time limits, are lifted. Another one to stick in the bookmarks, and another piece of research that Congress needs to pay attention to. On the local level, a new poll for the New York City mayoral race is out and shows Yang is retaining his lead for now, with 28% of voters indicating him as their first choice, compared to 17% for the runner-up. These pollsters are clearly not up on the times, though, as it was a plurality poll, not a ranked choice one. It did, however, measure commitment and found that there is a lot of room for voters to swing to many of the candidates, so don't get too comfy with Yang's commanding lead. It could evaporate quickly if we don't keep putting in the work to support him. And we absolutely should. Whether we agree with his choice to run or not, he's committed now and he needs to win. This is also by far his best chance to win an elected office, which will give him a chance to prove his competence for a later presidential run, as well as helping New York get back on its feet. We've got the wind at our back this time. Let's make the most of it. The biggest threat that the poll measured is that same rival, political experience. Over 70% of New Yorkers have been traumatized by Trump and want an experienced candidate. On that note, Matt tweeted a great clip from Yang's interview on the Karen Hunter Show in 2019, where she pointed out that despite Yang always pointing out how he's not a career politician, he's also not unqualified, referencing his degrees in economics, constitutional law, and political science. Then Yang adds some details about having written grant proposals and dealt with the government and his work with the Obama administration. I'd certainly tack on his career as a nonprofit entrepreneur in a dozen states, helping create more entrepreneurs, as well as his obviously well-researched and considered policy, having made a huge difference in winning Georgia and propelling UBI into the national consciousness, should also certainly carry some weight. Point being, it's a great clip to bookmark and refer to in discussions of Yang's qualifications, and it's a fantastic interview overall, one of his best. Link below. When we win this thing, it's going to be the volunteers on the ground who ultimately bring it home, with all the support the rest of us can provide them. People like Shane Moynihan, who's out there talking to New Yorkers on the streets, and the volunteers you'll see on Yang's Twitter account every day, who unfortunately are rarely named. Ground game wins every time. So do what you can to support them and to dispel the illusion that Yang is just another dabbling businessman. And keep donating what you can. Your money goes 9 times farther in this race than the presidential, and he does still need it. Above all, if you're in New York, make sure that you're registered as a Democrat so you can vote for Yang in the primary. The deadline is Valentine's Day, so get it done right now. And finally, UBI Lab has reported that Ards and North Down have passed a motion in support of UBI, bringing Northern Ireland councils to over 50% support. That is incredible. Keep up the great work. Remember, anyone can and should start their own UBI Lab chapter anywhere in the world. We've got momentum on all fronts. Let's bring home the win. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share the impeachment thread, the Powell thread, the welfare conditions meta study, and the Yang qualifications interview clip. Get registered to vote in New York City. Share the news from Ireland. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way. And don't forget to Yang Daily.